A 20-year-old digital copyright law is still being fought about and copied today. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. You know those music videos you love on YouTube and the memes you love to laugh at? Well, proposed digital copyright laws in Europe and other countries kind of want to make those a little less common. And they have their roots in a 20-year-old copyright law here in the U.S. called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
So it's a big, gnarly hairball of a law.
Cory Doctorow is a writer and activist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We reached him in his hotel room in Berlin. He and the EFF have been talking about and litigating over the unintended consequences of the DMCA for almost 20 years now. The law was written at a time when it was newly possible to rip CDs and DVDs and put them online. Illegally downloading music was getting more popular. Napster came out in 1999. Remember that? And this big copyright law, the DMCA, was designed to protect companies and artists from having their work stolen and disseminated all over the internet. But almost from the beginning, critics said it was too broad. Doctorow points to one section that covers the circumvention of tools that are designed to protect copyright.
The idea here was that if you like made a DVD player and you wanted to control whether DVDs bought in another country could play on it, you could make a little like code that checked to see whether the DVD was bought in the same place as the DVD player. And if not, you could refuse to play it.
The DMCA made it illegal to tamper with things like that little code. But it basically said it was illegal to break any copyright locks in any product. And that's why you weren't allowed to open up your smartphone or your tractor to fix it, which we talked about earlier this week.
And so here we are 20 years later, and this tactic is now being used to lock third-party ink out of inkjet printers. It's in voting machines, and it's being used to punish security researchers who audit voting machines because they say if you reveal the defects in the voting machines, it might help someone bypass these copyright locks.
Now, there is a provision in the law for a review every 3 years to consider exemptions. One of those reviews just happened. It gave you more rights to fix your smartphone and your tractor. And back in 2015, the Library of Congress did grant a limited exemption to protect researchers who were trying to find out if voting machines or other electronic systems had security flaws, as long as they were acting in good faith. However, there was a large catch. The researchers can break through Digital Rights Management, DRM, to find out if, for example, a voting machine has a security problem. But if they describe the tools they used to find those flaws, they could get a huge fine or even go to jail, which means nobody else can verify the research.
The DMCA should have been phrased in the most common sense way imaginable, which is to say, if you break DRM to infringe copyright, you're breaking the rules. If you're breaking DRM and you're not infringing copyright, you're allowed to do it.
Refining the DMCA has been a long process, and it's not just academics and researchers who want to fix it. In 2016, major music industry organizations said another provision of the copyright law was making it too easy for sites like YouTube to keep hosting copyrighted music, and they wanted reforms too. Kind of ironic since the music industry pushed hard for the original law. And now for some related links. Related to copyright issues, Google is, of course, a huge target of copyright owners and, yes, has let a lot slip through the cracks over the years. Not even cracks, canyons, really. But it put out a report yesterday detailing its 2018 efforts to fight piracy. Google said it's invested $100 million in tools to spot infringing content. They actually scan uploads against a database of copyrighted material, which is something the proposed EU copyright law wants everyone to do, in fact. And then if someone uploads copyrighted content, the original copyright owner gets ad revenue from it. Google said it's paid $3 billion to copyright owners that way, and another $1.8 billion to the music industry in the form of ad revenue. In its report, Google also said if you give people a way to pay for legitimate content, they are far less likely to steal it. Take a note, TV on demand people. Finally, if you are totally bored with smartphone designs, and I know you are because the biggest innovation in the last 5 years has basically been the notch, then get yourself to the internet and watch a video of Samsung's foldable smartphone, which it showed off yesterday at a developer conference. It folds out to become a 7-inch tablet and then closes up, and there's a phone screen on the front. Google said the Android operating system will support these crazy doohickeys. Lenovo and Xiaomi and LG are also working on them. Will it work? I don't know. Do you want it? I don't know. All I know is it wasn't about politics, and I don't think it had a notch. I'm in. Both of those related links are on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Molly Wood, and thanks for listening to Marketplace Tech. Tell a friend so they can listen too. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.